In the very beginning, I want to express my thanks to our Father in heaven for the privilege tonight to stand up and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to thank our elders, Tommy and Jeff, for all the deacons, and especially I want to give thanks to God for our good preacher and the wonderful sermon we had this morning. And continue to bless, God bless each one of us, that as we journey on through life, whatever life we have left, that we'll devote ourselves to serving our God. I tell you what, not many preachers get paid before they preach, but thanks, Stuart, for the dozen of eggs that you brought me tonight. I tell you what, I remember preaching in gospel meetings, how that people used to bring different things, and even in this place, and we're always grateful indeed for people sharing with us. Tonight I want to talk with you about God. We are to put our trust and faith in God. And I want this little thing here to work tonight if I can. Let's see. There we go. I hadn't just pressed it right, didn't it? Trust in God. If you have your Bible tonight, look for example in Isaiah chapter 26 verses 3 and 4. Here Isaiah, great book of God, 39 years in the beginning. And then 27 later, 66 books in the book of Isaiah. Now then we find in the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah these words. He says, as Isaiah speaks, he says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Look at it very carefully. Isaiah the prophet is describing an individual. An individual that's what? That does something with his heart. He trusts in the Lord. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll get this thing going right here in a minute. Sorry about that. Anyway, here we find where the Bible emphasizes to us, therefore, how that we are to trust in God. Isaiah says what? Isaiah says that if we put our trust in God, that we will have our minds set up on God, there will be peace for our souls. And then Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways, not in some ways, not in a few ways, but he said, put your trust in God in everything. Don't lean to your own understanding. Put your trust in God. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And our God is the God who can do impossible things. He can do so much more than what we can ask and think. He is powerful beyond our comprehension. No description can be enough to describe him. He is simply indescribable. But look what all the scriptures, as we lay them out before you tonight, say about the true and the living God, whom we are to put our trust in him. First of all, I know something about the God that I serve and the God that you serve. And the God whom we all serve, if we're serving him faithfully in Jesus Christ. I know that he is omnipotent. That means that he's able to do anything. The God that we are told to put your trust in him, he is omnipotent. He is in control of everything. I like what Jeremiah says. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The God you serve, the God that we trust, to put our trust in. Our God is a God who is what? Our God is a God who is capable of doing anything. Secondly, we put our trust in God because of his omniscience. You know what? God knows everything. The God that we're talking about, the God we put our trust in, this God As a matter of fact, the Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Matthew 10, verse 29. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And as I was studying this lesson, I couldn't help but pick up on this statement. And the statement is about the many people in the world tonight. And according to the report that I found, there are over 7.6 billion people on the earth today. I didn't say million, I said billions. And guess what? God knows every one of them. There's not a single one in this world that God does not know. He knows everything about us. And so, in His omniscience, He knows all things. That's the God I want to put my trust in. The God who knows it all. And thirdly, because He's omnipresent. Do you realize that the Bible emphasizes that God is everywhere at the same time? How can that be? The only way we can explain that is by the fact that God tells us that. Notice in Proverbs 15 in verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And then in Jeremiah 23 and 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Notice then, my friends, when we consider the fact that God is omnipotent, God is able to do everything, and that our God knows everything, and that our God can be everywhere at the same time. I tell you tonight, when I preach this sermon, I realize I'm standing before that God. And as I prayed this last week, and as I prepared this lesson, I want to make sure that we understand that the God that you and I are told to put our trust in is the God that loves you, that cares for us, and that is willing to do for us those things that we cannot do. For sometimes Christians find it hard to believe that God can and will do things to us and for us, especially the things that we think we don't deserve. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I even had talked to a man one time. He said, I can't obey the gospel. I'm an older man. Why? He said, I haven't done anything in the world for God. I said, son, God still loves you. You are important to Him. God says so. It is the faithful saying in 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. Paul saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Isn't that wonderful? If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And if we deny Him, He also would deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. In talking about trusting in God, putting your trust in Jehovah, the God who is everything, the God who is above everything. I had a tremendous difficulty in the choice of people that I wanted to speak about. First of all, there's Abraham and Sarah. Here's an old couple. They never had any children. When you get married, most people want children. And they wanted a child. And guess what? God told Abraham, well, Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. Genesis 12 and verse 2. Genesis 17 verses 4 and 5. God promised Abraham that Sarah would bear him a son. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 16. I like the expression there in that verse that she will bear you a son. Who? Sarah. What God promised this couple surely was fulfilled. Genesis 21, 1 through 7. And Isaac was born. And he was born to an older couple. And God said that he would be born. And God, when He says something, it always comes to pass. And here's Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham and Sarah loving Isaac? Why, when you think about not having a child and now here a child is given to them, what a joy and thrilling thing that is. And yes, Abraham loved Isaac, and so did Sarah. But then Abraham's faith is going to be challenged. Abraham's going to ask to be done something as far as his faith is concerned that actually would just hurt all of us to even think that we'd have to do that. God said to Abraham, and God said, now I want you to take Isaac, the boy, the son that you love, and I want you to take Isaac and offer him in a sacrifice unto me. You know what Abraham did? Abraham did exactly what God wanted him to do. He got up, and the Bible says he takes the fire and the wood, and even the lamb is not there. And his son then asks his daddy, where is the lamb? And God, here's a godly man. Here's a man that trusted in God. Here is a man that you can say, I love him, because God could tell him to do anything and he would do it. And the Bible says here how that Abraham said to his son, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the Bible tells us they go up into the top of the mountain where God had designated. Isaac was bound, and then he was laid upon the altar. And the Bible says that here is a man taking a knife or stretching forth to get the knife to slay the son that he loved so much. And guess what? There was a voice from heaven, an angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and it said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Faith, yes. Trust, yes. Taking your own boy to make a sacrifice unto God. Jesus Christ was God's only son. Jesus Christ was offered, and God allowed him to die. Abraham was blessed. Surely the ram that was in the thicket, he got it and made a sacrifice unto the Lord. And then Isaac was freed. Abraham believed, didn't he? I want that kind of faith. I want that kind of trust in the God that I serve. I want to say with all my being, I trust you, Lord, and I want to do what you want me to do. The Israelites, the walls of Jericho, as they came in Jeremiah chapter 6, crossing the Jordan River. And, you know, it was quite interesting to observe. Someone has suggested that around that city, they had built upon the embankment a retaining wall from 12 to 15 feet high. 46 feet above at the top of the embankment was another wall, 26 feet high and 6 feet thick. Who's going to get through that wall? How's anyone going to be able to get into that through that wall? Well, you know, God had a plan for a man whose name was Joshua. And God told Joshua, as many would say, be a crazy thing, but Joshua believed, trusted in God, and round he went with all the children of Israel for 6 days, once a day. On the seventh day, he was to go around the walls of Jericho, but that day he was to go around seven times. You know, you've got to do exactly as God says when he gives you an instruction what you are to do. You must obey it exactly as God specifies. And so did Joshua. But as they went around the last, on that seventh day, the seventh time, on that day, what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down. And then Joshua and the children of Israel were made able to take over that city. The third example is that young boy, David. You know, never underestimate the power and the strength of a young man who has faith in God. A young man who truly believes and he has his confidence and his faith in Jehovah God. You know what? The Bible tells us that that Goliath, they had been taunting the Israelites for 40 days. Some estimated this man was somewhat over 9 feet tall. And here's this little 16, 17-year-old boy. Why? He went to Saul. He said, I'm ready to meet him. What? And Saul tried his garments on him. His raiment. No, that wouldn't fit him. Why, David said, God will deliver this to me. And he refused, of course, the armor. Now then, here's this young boy. He marches into battle before Goliath. And one of the things that said concerning David, David said in the statement that he made, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. What? David ran toward, not away, toward the giant. And with just one stone, he hit the giant, fell down to the ground. And he took the giant's sword and cut off the giant's head. That wasn't anything for David. You know why? Because he knew the size of his obstacle did not matter. But he knew the size of the God that he had trust in. There's so many examples. Just thinking about these should move us to say, I want to trust in God. Look at all the many passages of Scriptures. Psalms 9, verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In Psalms chapter 112 and verse 7, there the Bible says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Where's his heart? It's in the Lord. It's fixated on the Lord. Psalms 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. And the psalmist says, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise him. Psalms 33 and verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. We have so many examples. There's so many scriptures that exhort us to trust in God. Will we do it? Are we willing? Do we know God well enough? Do we understand that he's right here, knowing every thought and every mind in this building? Knowing every individual, every hair on every head, out of the some 7 billion people, he knows everything everyone's doing at all times. May I tell you, my friends, tonight, when I look in the Bible, I know one thing. If we'll delight in the Lord, that our Lord will certainly please us, and he'll help us. In Psalms 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do we believe that? You mean if I put my trust in God, that God has said, whatever you need, I'll give it to you. When we were told our daughter had cerebral palsy, my, we were shaken. Didn't know what we would do. Who would have ever, as a matter of fact, when we were told to put her in an institution, that she'd never be able to be with other children as she grew up. But we found out as she was in the cerebral palsy center that she began to mimic others who were a lot worse than she was. Tell you what, tonight, when I went throughout this land preaching, state after state, city after city, I would ask my brothers and my sisters, and I meant it, I wanted them to pray for my little girl. I was in a meeting up in Virginia, and I never will forget when I arrived after this. This was our second meeting. One of the brethren came up to me, and he said, "How is Tabitha?" And he told me he had prayed for her every day since I left. I had people that don't kneel when I'd come out here for meetings. You knew her. Why? Because I told you I wanted you to pray for her. And look what we prayed for. That she got to go on and finish high school. That she got to go and finish college. And yes, she got to go and get married. And then they had three children. I tell you tonight, it's tough sometimes, but our trust's got to be in God. Whatever you're challenged to do, He's there to help you. He's helped us, and I know He'll help you. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Trust in God in all things. In Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Do we trust God to work things out for us, or do we complain and murmur? And yes, friends, when Paul makes that glorious statement to these Philippian brethren in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Some of you had to go through some tough times, but you know the answer. I know the answer. God tells us the answer. Trust in God. The Lord is my strength and my yield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise Him. Yes, the track of God is that He's going to help us, bless us, and surely He deserves all of our trust and confidence. And He says, "Trust in me, for with me, I'll be with you." Remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What's Jesus saying? I'll help you. What's God doing? He's helping us. He's helping us now here at O'Neill to grow again. He's helping us in being thankful that we were able to make it through the year that's been such a tough one. Yes, trust in God. When God says something is red, I guarantee you, it's red. You see, God doesn't make a mistake. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, as we conclude, the Hebrew writer says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that the Lord, that we might say, "The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear?" Put your trust in God. Don't put it in men. Don't put it in riches. Don't put it in things. Put your trust in the living God, because He is alive. And He will help us. Some of you have heard that poem, and I'm going to read it for you in conclusion. It's called "A Man in the Glass." When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to a mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people might think you're a straight shooting chum and to call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end, and you've passed your most dangerous test if the guy in the glass is your friend. And the conclusion, you may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears if you've cheated. If you've cheated the man in the glass. Trust in God. Put your trust in Him. And if you have not obeyed Him, remember Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. God wants you. He wants you to put your trust in him. He wants me to do the same. Let us be faithful and let us put our confidence, our trust, our love in God. In God we trust. Trust in God. And if you need to obey the gospel, won't you do that right now while together we stand and while we sing?